Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today will be taken from our gospel reading in John chapter 17. So last week we began a brief sermon series on mission, namely joining Jesus on his mission, which of course is the name of the book that is written by Greg Fenke that some of us have read and that we are using as we work with Greg over the next couple of years, to understand what does it mean to be on mission with Jesus. And so let me just bring us up to date. You know, we talked about a few things last week, three things in particular. And the first of those is just about the rapid change that there is in our society. We see things are constantly changing, and sometimes it's a challenge to keep up with those. And we have to understand that in the church, too, that methods need to change with what's going on around us. Not the message, right? Message remains the same, but the methods that we use to deliver that can change. For example, you know, years ago, 50 years ago or so, whatever, culture was such that going to church was just the thing that people did on Sundays. And so it wasn't too hard to start a church. You know, you kind of plop down somewhere, build a building, open the doors, and people would come because that's just what people did. They looked for churches. It doesn't happen anymore. You can't just open the doors of the church and expect people to come. So we have to change the way that we do things rather than just waiting for them to come here to church. We need to go out, to interact with people, to invite them to come. And so we need to understand that change in our culture. The second thing that we talked about is that when we go on mission, it's not for Jesus, but with Jesus. And there's a big difference between the two, right? If you're going for somebody, it can imply that, you know, like Jesus sits back and sends us out, and then we're responsible for everything that happens there, the plan, the carrying out the plan, and the results. Which is really not the way the scripture wants us to look at things. It's the other way around, that this is Jesus' mission and that he has a plan and he's out in front of us and he invites us to go with him. Very different way of thinking about it, right? Because we fully understand that we don't bring people to faith. That's Jesus' job, the Holy Spirit. They create faith in the hearts of people. We can't do that. But we can be there at the right time and the right place alongside of Jesus so that he can use us so that those things can happen. So that's an important distinction, just to remember that we are going with Jesus, not for him. And then the third thing that we talked about last week was the first of five mission practices. You know, there are things that we can do that will help us to be on mission with Jesus. And the first of those was that we are seeking what Jesus is up to. Yeah, so we're talking about keeping our eyes and ears open, paying attention to what's going on around us. So oftentimes what happens, well, we have our own agenda. You know, we're busy, we have things that we need to get done, and we're about doing those things, and we're pretty laser focused in doing those things, and we miss what's going on around us. We miss what God is doing in the life of those people who are around us. And instead of then being there in order to be with him in this mission, we kind of miss it. Maybe we look back at the end of the day and say, you know, I could have done something there. So that's kind of where we ended the sermon last week. And I just encouraged you in this week to keep your eyes open and to seek what Jesus is doing in the lives of the people who are around us. So we have we talked about five mission practices. The first one already is seeking Jesus. Let me add two others today to that list that can help us as we're seeking to be on mission with Jesus. The second mission practice then is hearing from Jesus. Hearing from Jesus. Our text for today talks a little bit about that. The first verse, Jesus says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. And this has a lot to do with hearing. But first of all, we ask the question, well, who are these people who will believe? Because Jesus says, I pray not only for these, in other words, the ones who are with him in that upper room on Maundy Thursday. He is praying for them, but he says, not only for these, but those who will believe in me. That's you. That's me. Jesus, think about that. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was thinking into the future about those who would believe in him, you, and he's praying for them, praying for you. I find that an amazing thing and a comforting and a strengthening thing, that he was praying for me and my faith and for my participation in the church and the unity that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ, of other churches as well. Yes, we have differences. We understand that. And there are divisions among us, and that is sad. But still, we also celebrate the fact that we are one in Christ with those people as well. But, you know, the real question for us today is, how does that happen? And Jesus said, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. In other words, through the words of the apostles. And this is where the hearing comes in, right? That we believe through their words. And so we need to hear in order for that to happen. Hear the words of the scriptures. Hear what they are speaking to us about Jesus. You know, of course, the great passage about this comes in Romans chapter 10. You may even be there in your mind before I go there, but the Apostle Paul wrote, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? And how are they to preach unless someone goes? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And then Paul wraps it all up in verse 17. So faith comes from hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ. See, that connects with the importance of hearing that we're talking about. We need to hear from Jesus. And what do we ask ourselves as we are hearing from him? We're asking him, what do you want me to believe? And what do you want me to do? What do you want me to believe? And what do you want me to do? Sometimes we stop with the believe part, which is great. But Jesus really wants us also to do. How do we know that? End of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, Jesus said a lot of things. And then he concludes that with this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. What makes somebody wise? The hearing and doing. It's not just the hearing, the doing. So we want to be cognizant of that too. So we gather together in order to hear, which is great, but we also want to go and do. It's part of what we're working on together. How can we not just know about Jesus' mission? Yeah, you know, he sends us to make disciples. You know, oh, it's good to know that. Well, let's be about it too. So four hints then, as you seek to put this mission practice into practice, you'd seek to do it. You know, how do we hear from Jesus? Four things. You know, in your devotions, set aside a time in the morning to do that. All right, you can do it at night. Yeah, I get it. Sometimes, you know, that's the best time. But really, if you can do it in the morning, it's good because that sets you up for the day. That way, what you're reading, Jesus can build into your day. So if you can, do it in the morning. Second, pray for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and your ears to what he's speaking to you. Third, then don't read to get through the scriptures, but read for the scriptures to get through you. Okay, here? So it's not a matter of, I'm going to sit down and I got to read chapter 4 of Galatians today. And you read it, check, did that. I got through it. No. Want to be the other way around. We want to read the Word of God so that it gets through us. It needs to be interactive. So I would suggest that if you're going to do it this way, there is a place for us to read through the Scriptures. I'm not saying there isn't. But if you're going to do it this way, then pick shorter passages. You know, you pick too much and you can't absorb it all. But if you pick the shorter passages, you can spend time meditating on that, reflecting on it, asking questions of it. Jesus, what is it that you want me to believe? What do you want me to do here? And so, you see, you don't need a lot of time for this either, right? 5-10 minutes. That's really all it takes. And you sit down with that short passage, you read it, and you really try to identify some of those things. And you have a discussion with it. This is the fourth thing. Don't necessarily study the passage. Again, there's a place for studying. But with this, you're not studying the passage. You're just listening for Jesus to speak to you. What are you saying, Jesus, in this? And it becomes a meditation, a dialogue with Jesus. And since we want to know Jesus on his mission, you know, how did you do mission? How'd you go about doing that? And help me to learn it. I would suggest if you're going to do this, start with like Luke chapter 4. Don't start with the infancy accounts. They're great. But for our purposes here, if you're looking at understanding Jesus and his mission and what he does, start with Luke 4. And just use those headings that are in your Bible. You know, it may be 4 verses. That's fine. It may be 10 verses. Okay, but it's a shorter passage. Yeah, it takes you longer to get through, but we're not in a hurry. So those are some hints about hearing from Jesus. Final thing that we want to do today then is with the third mission practice, and that is talking to people. So we are seeking what Jesus is doing, we are hearing from him, and then we are going to talk with people. Again, our text for today speaks about this, verse 23. Jesus said, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. So what is the purpose here? That the world may know. Okay, that's the purpose clause, right? Jesus is praying for us that we may believe and be one so that the world may know. He wants to use us as his instruments so that the world can know about him. And what exactly to know? First of all, that the Father loves them. That's the first message. God loves you. How do you know that? Because he sent his Son. There's the evidence of his love for you and that Jesus died for you. That's the message that we want to communicate. Our first reading for today talked about the importance of this talking. It is about the choosing of Matthias to be the 12th apostle, taking the place of Judas. So Jesus has ascended into heaven. They've gathered back together in the upper room. Peter stands up and says, all right, here's the situation. They rehearse the very sad story of Judas. He said, his office is now vacant. Let's fill it. They pray. They ask the Holy Spirit's direction. They cast the lots. Matthias is chosen to fill the office. Why? So that he may be a witness, along with the other 11, to the life and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the purpose of an apostle, that they might witness to the life of Jesus. I saw Jesus. I saw what he did. I saw his miracles. And especially then the resurrection. I saw him alive after he was dead. That's the job of the apostles. And so Matthias fills that spot. We also get to speak. Our role is not that of an apostle. We weren't there. We didn't see it. We did not see the life of Jesus. We did not see his resurrection. But we heard about it through the word. But we can talk about what we have experienced. And we have experienced the love of the Father. And we have experienced the forgiveness of Jesus. Those are the things that we get to talk about. And it's important for us to share that with others. Again, a couple of hints as to how do you go about doing that. First of all, notice the people who are around you. That's what we were talking about before, right? Who is God bringing into the path of your life? Keep your eyes open. Notice. You know, do you know the name of your neighbor? Can you find that out? Do you see them? Can you wave, say hi? You know, can you sometime go and introduce yourself? And these are just the beginning steps. They're not spiritual conversations. It's just about building a relationship. It's about saying hi to somebody and that I care. But that's where it begins. And then maybe it moves. You know, it moves to the place where you learn their name. It moves to the place of, how are you? Maybe even move to the place where they tell you something really important about them. I'm not so good today. My mom just died. Okay, there's a significant conversation that you can begin to have. And maybe even in that you say, I will pray for you, or can I pray for you, or can we pray together? You know, and you start moving these things into those spiritual conversations. But this all starts with noticing what's going on around you. Remember, the second thing is remember that talking with people is more about listening than it is about talking. Got that? Talking with others is more about listening than it is about talking. And so, after that initial introduction, you know, you just listen to what people have to say. You might say, well, I'm a little bit of an introvert. Well, perfect, right? Introverts, you don't have to talk. You listen. And you're probably better at this than the extroverts. They won't talk too much, you know, and they don't listen. So, okay, good. I think most of us are introverts anyway, so we get to listen. Third, go slowly. Don't rush spiritual conversations. You try to push something, and it just doesn't work. Somebody's not ready to have a spiritual conversation, you know, it's not going to help. So you just wait and you look and you be a friend and you listen and you be kind. And when the time's right, then you say something. And then you begin to gently enter into those conversations. And a lot of times it's just with, yeah, how can I pray for you? And then finally, just believe that Jesus is out in front of you. That this is not you going and digging something up and creating something. No, Jesus is out there already. And in the life of somebody who is perhaps struggling, and will share that with you, that's where Jesus is already at work. And you just begin to enter into that with Jesus. So again, we want to not just talk about this. It's good that we talk about it, but we want to do this. So can you do that this coming week? Those three things, just start keeping your eyes open. Where is Jesus at work? Second, take some time in the Word to hear from Jesus. And third, begin to talk with people. It doesn't have to be a spiritual conversation, but, you know, just begin to talk with people. And, you know, who knows where that will lead to. God bless you this week as you seek to be on mission with Jesus. In his name, amen.